We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Thank you very much. My friends, I want to read you two verses from the 8th chapter of Romans, and I want to be able to clear up for you some things that have been cleared up for me. I find out that we all have more or less the same problems. We wonder about things sometimes, even Christian people. But you know, this scripture is so clear if we'll just listen to it and understand it. Now notice, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Now up in heaven at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died for us and rose from the dead. He pleads our case. He's our lawyer, our attorney. All right. Now, not only do we have him, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit represents Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit also, according to this, makes intercessions for us. To the one that knows all about us, the one that searches the hearts, God the Father. Jesus pleads our case. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us also. Now, sometimes we don't know just what to pray for, how we ought to pray about a certain matter. Now, all the great fundamental things of life were revealed to us in the Word of God. Now, God never answers any prayer or approves any course of action contrary to the Word of God. Now, let's remember that. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. He is the author of the Bible. This is a God-breathed book. In the original manuscripts, the Holy Spirit actually, according to the Bible, chose the very words that the man used. God Almighty did not take any chance on his word that's forever settled in heaven. So in the original manuscripts, even the words themselves were chosen by the Holy Spirit. Now that's made clear that these things came not in the words which human wisdom teaches, but came in the words which divine wisdom teaches. Now not just the thought now, but the words themselves. All right, now this Bible is God's Word forever settled in heaven. Now there may be some little shades of meaning in some of the translations that are not clear. But I've been studying the Bible to some extent for a great many years. And the great fundamental truths of the Bible, there is no question about what the Bible says. There's no question in any translation I've ever seen about the great essential fundamentals. There's no question about the inspiration of the Bible. There's no question about the virgin birth. There's no question about the incarnation. There's no question about the blood atonement. There's no question about the bodily resurrection. There's no question about Jesus going back to heaven. There's no question about the promise he's coming again. There's no question about the statement, you must be born again, see? All the great fundamental essentials, even all the translations are preserved as far as I've been able to find. Now, they may use man's own little way of expressing that, but take all the, what you call, regular translations that we have, accepted over the world. The fundamentals of the truth are clearly taught. Now, God Almighty has revealed to us his will for our lives. He says, not the will anybody should perish. He rather all would come to him and live. Now, the Bible is clear that the wages of sin is death. The Bible is clear that except a man repent, he must perish. The Bible is clear, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible is clear that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, who was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. There isn't any controversy today in the minds of people about what the Bible says about the essential fundamentals. The trouble today is what man says about those things. Now, the Holy Spirit never asks God, never intercedes with God the Father, to do anything contrary to his word. I heard a man say not long ago that it was always God's will to heal the sick. Well, I know better. I know that isn't so. It's not always God's will. It isn't always the will of God. Paul went to the Lord 3 times and asked the Lord to remove the thorn of the flesh, and it wasn't removed. Paul evidently had infirmities he carried through life. Now, it's not always God's will to heal the sick. Now, people say, well, you just don't have the faith. Now, wait a minute. I have faith enough to believe that what anything God said he'd do, he'd do. All right, now let me show you something. I don't hesitate to ask God to forgive my sins when I do wrong, because we are told clearly if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when I sin, I go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. And he said he'd forgive me. I don't have to wonder if I mean it. I know he forgives me because he said so. All right, a sinner comes to Jesus Christ. He said, come to me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Him that cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out. Now, if a sinner comes to Jesus and says, I can't save myself, I trust you to save me. Now, the sinner has a perfect right to take what God says about his salvation. I heard a man one time say, don't believe it unless you feel it. I wouldn't tell any sinner that, for by grace you're saved through faith. Now, feeling is a result of faith, see? Feeling is a result. I don't feel saved. I feel happy because I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because God's Word tells me so. But sometimes in life, we come up with a daily routine problem where in that specific case, there's no revelation of the will of God. Say, I'm sick now, Will. Suppose I'm ill. And I think the case is pretty serious. And I think maybe my work's not done, you know. And I'm going to live anyhow. And so I go to God and say, now, Lord, spare my life. Let me live. I won't do certain things for you. And maybe even for him, see. I go and pray the prayer now, you know, and I pray and pray. And then I die, see. Well, now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean God's going back on himself. The thing with me, I was asking God to spare my life without saying, now, Lord, if it's your will to spare my life. Now, if it's God's will to spare my life, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for me. It may be God's will. It may not be God's will. When Paul's work was done, it was God's will to let him go on home. Yes, Paul said, I finished the course. I kept the faith. I'm now ready to be offered. Time of departure is at hand. Now, if Paul, knowing that, had prayed to God to spare his life, he'd been praying against the Holy Ghost. See? It's not always God's will to heal the sick. Remember that. Now, many times it is. Many times God's will, I think I've been healed in answer to prayer. And I've known other people. When people come along and say, you just haven't any faith if you're not healed. Now, that may be a reason some folks are not healed, but that's not always a reason. Now, the little routine comes up. Maybe he has an advantage. He has two open doors now. He's got an invitation here and an invitation here. Now, he can't go to both places. Well, he's supposed to use his head. He's not using his head about where he'd get the bigger offering. That's not the way he uses his head. He's saying, now, I wonder, as I see it, where's the best opportunity? Now, a man cannot always tell that. A man's never to be the judge of that. Remember that, man. All right? He goes to God and says, now, Lord, I want you to show me which way to go. The road's parted. I can't go to both places. And it parts right here. I can go here. I can go yonder. Now, Lord, close one of those doors or direct me about this matter. Do something about it so I'll know just which place you want me to go. All right. Now, he goes ahead, and if he has faith in God, God will lead him to the place he should go. The steps of a good man ordered of God. It's one thing to have God overrule. It's another thing to have God to bless. God may overrule. He often overrules. But he makes the wrath of men to praise him. God Almighty, back when the martyrs, when the Christians were being killed, and pagan Rome had a heel on the neck of the Christianity in its early days, he couldn't destroy Christianity. There were things happening there that God permitted to happen. But God Almighty didn't direct it to happen. He permitted it to happen and overruled even the wrath of man. Now, God does that. God's on the throne of this universe. He's in control of the machinery. And he says, all right, you go ahead. But I've told you what to do. Now, you haven't any right to pray for an organization or a movement as an organization. You might pray for individuals in it. If that organization is operating contrary to the will of God. You haven't any right to pray for a preacher if that preacher isn't true to the Word of God. Now, you might pray God to help him get right and get him to be true to the Word. But you haven't any right to say, Lord, bless that preacher's ministry. He doesn't believe the Bible. He doesn't believe in the blood of Christ. Doesn't believe what's clearly revealed in the Bible. But he's up there preaching. I wouldn't pray for my pastor if he didn't believe those things. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't support him. I wouldn't violate the Scripture. I'm not going to ask God to do something that he said that he was against in the Bible. I might say, oh, Lord, God, overrule this. Don't let anything happen to it. Don't let any harm come out of it. Overrule it. It's one thing to pray for God to overrule. Another thing to pray for God to bless. Now, let's remember that. Now, God Almighty doesn't find perfect people. We're not perfect, but his Word's perfect. And when his will is clear on any issue, there's no problem. You know what to do. Now, the Holy Spirit's the author of the Bible. Men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't ask God the Father, doesn't intercede any time, anywhere, under any circumstances, to anything contrary to his Word. Now, let's understand that. If it's contrary to the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit is not interceding. People say, well, I just prayed, I saw this, and it all worked out. Well, listen, you're praying against the Word of God, you're praying wrong. God never answers prayer contrary to His Word. God never blesses a movement contrary to His Word. God Almighty may overrule a movement contrary to His Word. And God may make the wrath of men to praise Him, because God Almighty is marching through the ages on His way to victory for His own and His people, and He may overrule. But God Almighty never answers a prayer or approves a prayer contrary to the will of God. You remember that woman came to Jesus and said, thou son of David, my daughter's vexed with a demon, set my daughter free, and Jesus didn't pay attention to her. He said, I can't give the bread to the children to the dogs. She was asking him as a son of David. As a son of David, he belongs to Israel. As a son of God, he belongs to all people. All Jews, Gentiles, everybody in the world is a son of God. God gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish everlasting life. But as King of Israel, then it's a different thing. And since she cries out to God, you know, Son of God, and God hears her prayer. Now, wait a minute. You don't get answers to prayer if you pray contrary to the clearly revealed Word of God. Now, God knows our infirmities. He helps our infirmities. We don't have to pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit steps in there. We may be honest, and the Holy Spirit says, well, that's not best for him. Now, Lord, it's not best for him. Do you know the worst thing that happened to some people is to live when God wants them to go home and they hold on there? And I heard of a woman one time that prayed that God wouldn't let her baby die and agonized, and all of them prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And the baby was spared. And the baby grew up, he went to the penitentiary for a terrible crime, see? All right. Now, you have no right to ask God, to pray to God, to plead with God, to do things contrary to the clearly revealed Word. Now, Lord, if it can be thy will, my baby's sick. Now, God hasn't told us in the Bible there wouldn't any babies die. God hasn't told us in the Bible that no little baby would ever get sick unto death. That's not in the Bible. It's not always God's will to heal babies. It's not always God's will to spare a husband or a wife. It's not always God's will. But whatever His will is, that's what we ought to want in this world. And that's what we ought to want as students of the Bible. Now, what's revealed in the Bible now, clear, you have no question. You don't have to say if it's thy will, if it's clear in the Bible. Now, if it's something in the Bible, like some routine detail affair, the steps of good man ordered of God, and the roads cross, I come where this road goes that way, another goes that way, and I don't know which way to go. If I look down this road, looks attractive, that other road looks attractive, what must I do? Well, first, I should be in this state of mind. Now, Lord, I want to go where You want me to go. That's the first thing. Now, which way do You want me to go, Lord? Not which way do I want to go. Not where I get a better job. Not where I have a smoother road. Not that, Lord. Which way would You have me go? All right? Now, when you pray sincerely like that, the Holy Spirit will direct you. And you don't have to go through this world not knowing what you're doing. If you're surrendered fully, completely to the Lord, take His Word when it's clear. And when you don't understand His Word, it isn't clear. The Spirit will take care of you if you're a surrendered Christian. Now, Father, help us to be surrendered, definitely consecrated to God. And may Thy will be done in us and through us for Thy glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist, and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.